T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Appreciate Clint Sterner and Ron the show, Hughley, allowing myself, Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com, and former NFL veteran wide receiver Cecil Shorts III alongside me to keep the seat warm for him on this Independence Day version of Clint Sterner and the show. And we got the 5 o'clock fire, man. I led the show talking about this being a potential showcase for Jake Odorizzi for the rest of Major League Baseball to decide if this is somebody that they want to trade for, with less than a month ahead of the MLB trade deadline. That was kind of how I positioned this. Now, I've admitted since that I did not realize that this game would be playing out throughout the duration of our show. And I thought this was a question for us to bandy about for the rest of the afternoon and into the evening when I thought they played. Not the case. My bad. However, Jake Odorizzi didn't last a real long time in this game. He goes 4 innings, gives up 5 earned runs on 9 hits, walked 1, struck out 3, gave up a home run. Not his best night, not his best outing. He's chased after 4 innings. Again, 5 earned runs on 9 hits. And Seth Martinez is in the game now. Now, Jose Altuve just singled in a run to cut the deficit to 5-2. So we are now in the fifth inning with, or the top of the sixth inning, excuse me, with a 5-2 score in favor of the Kansas City Royals. So that's where we are with the Astros. I do find it fascinating that it feels like they're playing down to the competition a little bit, because they just went on this great stretch against the Yankees and the Mets, the New Yorks, who at the time were leading their respective leagues, the Yankees in the American League, the Mets in the National League, did their thing, dominated the Angels, who are no good, but dominated them nonetheless. And here we are against the Kansas City Royals, who, newsflash, not very good. Not very good at all. But for whatever reason, just run into some bad luck against the Royals, man.
You won't look at Jake Or.
I can't say his last name.
Right? Odorizzi. Jake Odorizzi. Jake O. Jake O. You know how we do it. We don't know. J-O.
There it is. J-O. You look at him no different, right? You're not worried about him after this start. This is the first start from the injury.
Nah, he's fine. He'll be fine. He's still good. I just love the timing of it all.
Oh, yeah. Convenient
for.
It's about to happen.
Convenient for the narrative that I tried to construct on this show. And something that I didn't think would play out. You know, while we were on the show, you know, I thought it was going to be able to play out at night. And like, I got this theory at the start of the show, an hour into the show. Theory.
Done.
Wipe my hands with it. To hell with your theory, B. Scott. We not rocking with it. But that's what's going on with the Astros. They're down 5-2, sixth inning. Not the greatest outing from Jake Odorizzi. But hey, man, I still think that you can feel pretty good about this being the damn best team in baseball.
5 o'clock fire.
Hey, I got excited about this, Cecil. I got real excited when I saw the Rockets Summer League roster drop over the weekend. Not because the Summer League, like, matters or anything. Because I'm a Rockets fan, man. Mm. And, like, I'm not, you know, I don't have a team that I just got done watching in the playoffs. I ain't watched my team in a long time play. because they won their last game of the season. I don't have the date in front of me, but it's been a few months.
Yeah.
And it was their 20th win of the season. An NBA low, if you're keeping track. That's what the Rockets won. So, yeah, you announce your summer league roster. You tell me that the number 3 overall pick, Jabari Smith, is going to be in the building. You tell me that your number 17 overall pick in Tari Eason is going to be there. Look, I'm your possible point guard of the future, and Ty Washington is going to be there. I'm into this. And, of course, we knew this. The first game that they play, it's on Thursday. Oh, yeah. It's going to be on ESPN, so y'all can check it out. Watch it. It's against Orlando Magic, man. This is Paolo versus Jabari. Kind of very similar to last year when Jalen Green and Cade Cunningham went up against each other in the summer league.
Yeah.
And you know, there was a little bit of tension there, I feel like, because Jalen Green felt slighted, thought he should have been a number one pick, even though everybody was saying that it would be Cade Cunningham. This is a little bit different, dog. Like, think about it. Jabari Smith literally thought he was going to be the number one pick until about an hour before the draft.
Yep.
Or, and I don't know how close he was following Twitter or whatever, but we thought at least he was going to be the number one pick until about an hour before the draft. And then he wasn't, and it was Paolo. So I feel like there will always be, and we saw pictures of them, you know, posing together and being friendly together at the draft. I'm not saying that there's like a beef there or anything, but best believe that Jabari Smith will be playing with a chip on his shoulder, not just on Thursday when they go against the Magic, but I imagine throughout his rookie year, and you know, who knows long for as long as he feels slighted for not being the number one overall pick.
He wasn't just not the number one overall pick. He wasn't number two either. So it wasn't like one team passed him and then the second team got him. He went down two slots.
Yeah.
You went from being the number one overall prospect coming in, the number one guy, then you dropped two spots?
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking up Oklahoma City because Oklahoma City always does a good job drafting, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, they
drafted Westbrook.
They
drafted Durant.
They're good. They're good at team building in Oklahoma City.
Very good at team building, right? But when you are a player and you go from the number one guy to getting dropped two spots, and you're like, wait a second. Even when he didn't go first, I didn't think he was going to fall to three. I'm like, okay, maybe Chet's coming to Houston.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're still going there. So now guess what? Even though the Rockets, even though they had the worst overall record in the NBA, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
You still get the number one overall prospect. So if you were number one, you're probably still going to be drafting Jabari Smith. But now you drop three, you still get the quote unquote overall best prospect, right? So I'm excited about it. I can't wait. His tenacity on defense is what stands out to me.
Yeah, I called it a happy accident right after the draft. That was my expert analysis. Happy accident. The Rockets were anticipating getting whoever was left over of the top three. We had pretty much had a consensus on who the top three players were.
Yeah.
And so whoever was not picked in the first two picks, that's who the Rockets were going to end up with. And as long as they did not deviate from that three, as long as that three they didn't go out and get a different, even though I like Jaden Ivey, I think that would have been a little bit more controversial. I would have been fine with it, honestly. But I thought as long as they did not deviate from that top three, this would be an unimpeachable pick because there was a consensus on who those top three guys were. But still, happy accident. Winding up with Jabari Smith in that case. I did wonder the same thing that you mentioned about Chet. Like, when it was clear that Paolo was going to go number one overall, I wonder, because I like Jabari Smith as the best player in this draft, independent on where the Rockets were picking or whatever, right?
Right.
Give me Jabari Smith as the top player. But I wondered, okay, since Orlando has flipped the draft board up a little bit, does OKC view Jabari the same way that I do? Mm-hmm. Or had they just settled on Chet because they figured Jabari wasn't going to be there? I didn't know that. So I had a little angst leading up to that second pick on, you know, what is Oklahoma City thinking? Because I wouldn't have been down on Chet, but Jabari Smith doesn't go number one. You're hoping that he falls to you at number three. You know, so happy accident, best case scenario for the Rockets.
5 o'clock fire.
Cecil, we are less than 3 weeks away from Texans rookies reporting to training camp. 20 days to be exact, the rookies will be reporting to training camp. 22 days from veterans reporting to training camp. 40 days from the first preseason game against the Saints. I'm actually kind of excited for that, just because this is going to be a new look football team. New head coach, obviously, was the defensive coordinator last year in Lovie Smith. But between having a new offense, just something new, something different. Obviously, this being Davis Mills' first year starting the season with the full reins of everything, of being the starting quarterback. And then, of course, you got this infusion of talent with this rookie class. But I'm interested from you, Cecil, since we haven't really talked to you since the schedule came out, since OTAs or any of that. Do you have anything from the schedule that you're most looking forward to? Is there an aspect of this Texan season, okay, with knowing that training camp is right around the corner? They got all of these new players. You know what I mean? Davis Mills, we talked about Pep Hamilton. You explained to us what a Pep Hamilton offense is. Look, these days are gonna fly by. You know, it sounds like a lot when you say 20, 22, 40. But it's going to be right around the corner. Like 40 days, and they're going to be on the field competing. Yep. You know, what to you stands out? Do you have anything from the schedule, anything from the offseason? What's kind of your offseason Texans thing that you're on right now?
Well, I want to see the guys that played last year rookie-wise, the third-round picks on down, continue to ascend, right?
Yeah, the second-year guys this year.
I think that's going to be key. Can these guys continue to ascend and continue to be a contributor on the football team? You don't want guys that are one-hit wonders that, okay, they show some promise, but then that's all they showed. They're not consistent. They're not ascending. They're not getting better. I don't want them to stay the same they were last year. Let's continue to ascend, and then you're building something, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What I'm looking forward to this year, so those second-year guys ascending, the rookie class this year I think is super talented. We got a first-round pick. I want to see Stingley. I want to see him play against some of the top receivers in the league this year. And he's going to have a fair amount of guys to go against. You're going to see Tyreek Hill. You're going to see others too. So it's going to be a good year.
Yeah, so we're going to carry that conversation into the other side. That was the 5 o'clock fire. Shout out to Clint Sterner and the show for letting us hold it down on a big 3-3 and the football at 4. Clint Sterner's football at 4, and we just got through the 5 o'clock fire. But Cecil was just talking about wanting to see Derek Stingley. But why is this Texans rookie the one that Cecil Shorts is most excited to watch this year? And we can have a conversation too, a deeper one, about the second year guys as well, because I think that group is super important when we talk about this Texans team going forward as well. So Brandon Scott, Cecil Shorts III on Sports Radio 610. That's next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Brandon Scott and Cecil Shorts in the building for you. Ron the Show and Clint Sterner are out. So you got us. Appreciate them, as always, for letting us warm the bench for him a little bit. Warm the seats up. Cecil, I'm an Odell Beckham Jr. fan.
Are you?
I am, man. I think he's just a dude that was born to be excellent. Like, he's just good. Excellent, man. It seems like I've seen him, obviously, what he does as a wide receiver, but he seems like one of those dudes that's just an overall athlete, could have done whatever anything he decided he wanted to focus all of his energy on.
Yeah.
And I'm a fan of dudes like that. Like, or at least I tip my cap, you know, when I see respect. When I see excellence. Hey, man, I don't have no hater in me, man. So when you just good, you know what I mean? I'm just like, hey, man, look, tip your cap. The dude is good. But I don't know if he this damn good, man. And you're going to have to explain this to me, because you played the position. You did it at this level. And I didn't go anywhere past high school basketball. But Odell Beckham says that he played the back half of last season without an ACL. And I saw that and I'm like, all right, sure. Ain't nobody doing that. You can't do that. And I'm sure there are much more graphic football stories than simply just playing without your ACL. But it just doesn't sound right. I'm like, ah, man, he out there running around. He caught a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like, he was good for the Rams after they brought him in. So I'm like, well, no way was he his productive self without an ACL.
Yeah.
Apparently, this is a thing that could actually happen, and it is not as far-fetched as I originally thought when I saw the tweet.
It's not. Now, you have to understand players aren't doctors, right? And what we hear is we hear what we want to hear.
Yes, I can see that. I can definitely see that being the case.
I believe that he had maybe a partial tear from earlier in the year. I don't think it was completely torn. You're not reacting the way you did in the Super Bowl if it's already torn. Does that make sense? You'll go down.
That's what I'm thinking. That's why I was struggling with the
He just
the
finished whatever was already hurt, if that makes sense. So I believe he did have a serious ACL, maybe a minor tear, or one of the other ligaments were like kind of messed up. So it was like partially torn, and then he's got the rest of it in the Super Bowl. And that's not far-fetched. I play with Vincent Jackson. May he rest in peace. That's the second guy I had to say rest in peace to, man.
Man, and that an underrated story, and I don't even want to call it a story. It's just a tragedy, honestly. But an underrated thing about this offseason is how many people we've lost young. I mean, Dwayne Haskins' tragedy, getting hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Marion Barber. And I didn't mean to bring the segment down, but you mentioned that, though. And I know Vincent Jackson happened a while ago.
Yeah.
But I mean, you lost a lot of guys.
Brennan. I don't know if you remember Colt
Brennan.
Yeah,
Colt Brennan. There you go. Yeah, from Hawaii. Yeah. It's just been, kind of a weird time.
The young guy from Baltimore just passed away.
Yeah. The running back. Was he a running back?
No. Defensive end. Outside linebacker. Yeah. Type. Young, like just drafted in 2020.
Right, because he died at the same time. Was it Ferguson? I don't know. He died at the same time, right around the same time that Tony Boselli ended up. I'm sorry. Trash that. Hey, dump that. Saragusa.
Goose.
I don't know. For some reason, Tony Boselli was on my mind. But, yeah. Saragusa, I think they died like on the same day.
Yeah, it was the
so
same
like
day.
So like the Ravens community was reeling from that.
Yeah.
My bad on that, on the Boselli thing, too. Dump that, Chris. But yeah, man, just a just an odd thing. But you say you played with Vincent Jackson when he did
play with Vincent Jackson, and he played a whole game with completely tearing his ACL. Didn't even know. So he was playing the game. The game was our. But that's the thing. He played the game, tore his ACL, injured his knee. He came out. Oh, I'm good. Went back in the game. This is Monday Night Football. We're in Tampa. Caught a couple passes. Everything was fine. Went home like nothing. Next day came in. Hey, my knee's a little swollen. Complete tear of the ACL. And he said that just over time of the years he's been playing so long, how big he is, it was just time for it to go.
And like, I'm sorry, did you say, was he feeling pain though? Did he feel something?
He didn't feel any pain. So I take that back. He got hit in his knee, and then after that, he was fine. So he didn't feel anything after that. On the ride home, he didn't complain.
Okay.
We were cracking jokes. Like everything was good. And then the next day, his knee was a little bit swollen, nothing major. He's like, yo, you tore your ACL last night. So I've seen things like that. And they asked him, hey, do you want to get surgery? Do you want to continue to play? Like, what do you want to do? And it's like the amount of pain that most guys take on to play this game is absurd. The amount of pain most guys go through on a daily basis is absurd. You always hear like, hey, it's a difference between being injured and healthy. There's a difference. I mean, injured and hurt. There's a difference between you can play through something and you can't play through something. And most guys, I would say 95% of guys that play either special teams on up, you're experiencing some type of pain. You're fighting through some type of pain. And that's just what it is with the football season. So it's not far-fetched that Odell played with partially torn ligaments. And then at the Super Bowl, it just gave out. I don't believe he played without an ACL. Now, I've known guys. This is an NBA player. University of Pitt grad, DeJuan Blair, had ACLs.
In that's right. Yeah.
You remember that?
DeJuan Blair,
decent player in the league.
Because that was the reason why he wasn't kind of a below-the-rim big.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, he wasn't really explosive, nothing like that.
I remember him and Hashim Thabeet had some infamous battles in college basketball. Because that's who played against each other was DeJuan Blair and Hashim Thabeet. Yeah, they had some really good head-to-heads where DeJuan Blair, the shorter and below the rim but stockier guy, would kind
of
have some moves and would kind of give him the business. That's a good
So it's not far-fetched. Like it's not far-fetched. It's his position. It's like, yo, you are running at a high speed a lot. You're stopping and starting all the time. So it's hard for me to believe that it was completely torn, but it was. I can believe it was something wrong for sure.
What's the most insane injury that you've ever played with, or the most pain that you've been in on a football field? The thing that football players would understand and maybe wouldn't recoil at you saying it, but like me over here, that's not even coming to do a radio show if my stomach don't feel right. Like what does that look like in your career?
I got two.
All right.
One was in college, one was in the league. In college it was turf toe. And I never understood.
Okay.
I'm like, turf toe. Like, yo, you people this soft. Like Deion was tripping. Like you get turf toe, boom, 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 boom. I caught a punt return in college. Somebody tripped me up from behind and my toe kind of like really got really stubbed in the ground. What I mean, that was the most excruciating pain I ever had. That was week 4 of my college season. I had to sit out a month, and then I was back for the playoffs. And our playoffs, we always go to the championships. We played 6 weeks after that. I was in so much pain for those 6 weeks, literally like a knife or a nail in my big toe every time I took a step.
And that was how you got turf toe, or you already had it?
I already had it at that moment where I felt the knife.
So you had turf toe when your toe had this awkward moment in the grass or whatever.
Yes.
It was. Okay.
So
wow.
I had turf toe and I couldn't figure out what it was.
So already playing with turf toe.
Yes.
All right.
And then it's just a knife in like constant stabbing. And there's nothing you can do about it. Brandon, there's nothing you could do. No medicine, no nothing. I got shot up in college. It was nothing they could do to take off the pain. It was just excruciating. Every single step, every single play.
How long was the excruciating aspect of it? How long did that part of it last? Because I'm curious about that. Because, you know, you stub your toe, it hurts like hell. But after about 30 seconds,
it's
over. I'm pretty sure you would
never went away. You know how you stubbed your toe and then, like you said, eventually it never went away?
Yeah.
So for about 2.5 months, it never went away.
Whoa. How long? Yeah,
2.5 months. It never went away.
With an excruciating pain in your toe?
Yes. I had to walk around the boot, constant medicine. Constantly, when I started playing again, getting shot up, it was unreal. cortisone, all that.
And this is college before you made this your living, made this a living, made this a living out of this, right? Okay.
Now in the pros, I had a plethora of different stuff, but the one that was most excruciating for me in the pros was my sports hernia, where I felt like my testicles were being pulled off of me every time I would go for a route.
What?
So there were some days where I felt good. There were other days where it's like somebody was literally grabbing my balls and trying to pull them or yank them off of me. And it's a sharp pain, right? So I'll make a cut. Yeah. That's how I felt. Yeah. Like, where are you going? Like somebody just pulled.
But by the balls. Not by the ear, like how they show you in the TV shows.
Oh, by the balls. And if you're only a man, can only understand what I'm feeling right now. Or maybe try to understand what I'm feeling. You get kicked in the balls, it's a pain, right? But yeah. When you get a sports hernia and you're playing, I played the whole season. I played 13 games. That's as long as I could. That's as long as I could play with my balls being pulled each and every day at practice, each and every game. And I lasted all the way to Thursday night football against the Texans. And I dove for a pass. It was a deep pass. I got overthrown, wide open. I think I beat J. Joe or somebody. wide open.
Shout out, J. Joe.
I love you, J. Joe. I wide open pass. I dived for it. It was too far. And then that was it. I had literally limped off the field. But they were already like, at that point, they were like, just try to make it through the season. They had to limit my practice. And they knew what it was, but they didn't tell me right away. I'm like, why did my balls hurt, man? I'm like, this is supposed to happen.
Why I feel like somebody pulling them, though?
It's just a growing. No, my balls ain't my growing. Like, no, what is wrong? And they eventually told me. And then they're like, yeah, it's nothing we can do.
Dude.
It was crazy, B. Like, it was nuts.
It was nuts? Was it, though? Hey.
It was crazy.
That's where we draw the line right there. Is that the nut pulling?
No, that was hard, man. That was something that was, I never felt that before.
Jake Myers, your center fielder, just tripled to right field, and it looks like, yeah. And then Mauricio Dubon follows that up with a ground out to score Jake Myers, and all of a sudden you're in the bottom of the seventh inning, just trailing the Kansas City Royals by two, and Corey Lee is at bat right now. So there's your perhaps your catcher of the future. And a really good hitter, with a chance to do a little bit of damage for the Astros here in the seventh inning. Coming up, we want to get more into this conversation that we didn't necessarily get into in this segment about the Texans rookie. There is a specific Texans rookie that Cecil Shorts is high on and that he's excited to see. Why is that exactly? We'll talk about that next on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
$5,200 different ways. Different ways get paid. Watch me flex my muscle, moving weight. Still got other ways.
So I'm trying to figure this out, Cecil. You say that there is a specific Texans rookie that you are looking forward to.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and this
sir.
Is Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com, alongside Cecil Shorts, former Texans wide receiver. Spent some time in the NFL. You might have heard of him a time or two. There's a specific rookie that you're looking forward to seeing, and it's not one of the skill position guys, not one of the kind of flashier, you know, wide receiver, cornerback, running back. It's in the trenches. This is the player that you're most excited to see out of the rookies is Kenyon Green. You mentioned this earlier in the show. I think Kenyon Green's positioning on the team is fascinating. Obviously, it was a position of need. It was somewhere that they were not. They were just flat out not good. Mm-hmm. Tytus Howard was better as a right tackle, mm-hmm. even though he could physically play left guard. He wasn't special at that position. Mm-hmm. Closer to special at right tackle. So you had a guy out of position, and you did that in part because you didn't feel like you had what you needed at that position. Like, you don't move Tytus Howard from right tackle to left guard if you feel like you got a left guard, obviously.
Correct. Right.
And then, of course, you don't go and draft one if you feel like you got one. So they've been trying to figure this out. This is the guy that you're most excited to watch play. Why is that?
He's a dog. Like, he is somebody. When you think of an offensive lineman, you think of a guy. For example, I played with Ben Jones here in Houston. And Ben is still playing. Very successful center for the Tennessee Titans right now. And he was another one, a Georgia guy, that was a dog. You think of an offensive lineman, you think of a guy that is going to get dirty, that wants to hurt somebody, that wants to put somebody in the ground, that is physical, that's going to walk over you after you get done, that's going to get his job done, that brings his lunch pail every single day, right? Has some nastiness to him, has some dog to him. He's going to finish his block. He's not just going to block you and push you to the side. He's going to block you and then push you to the ground, right? When I watch Kenyon Green and I watch his tape and I watch how physical he is and how he can move and what he does when he pulls and how he blocks and how he gets to the second level on linebackers, he is a dog. And you did not have that for a while now, if I'm honest, in your offensive line room. You didn't have a guy that was talented and a dog. You might have had a guy that has some oomph about him, but he just wasn't necessarily as good as Kenyon Green.
Right.
Can be. So I'm excited about Kenyon because how you win football games is protecting your quarterback and then sacking the quarterback, right?
Yep.
And part of winning that game as well is not only protecting the quarterback, but also being able to run the football. And when you have a guy like Kenyon Green to add to, like you mentioned, Tytus Howard was a better fit at right tackle. Laremy Tunsil, when he is playing, is one of the better left tackles in the game of football. When you have that piece to put with those two tackles, you're in good shape. Yeah. And you should be able to improve one of the worst running games you've had in the NFL last year. So when you have a guy that can bring that type of nastiness to him, it brings it every day as the first round pick, yes, you're going to have guys around him that's going to elevate their game. Even though he's a rookie, coach is going to point it out, hey, this is how you finish a play. He's going to point, have this little red pointer on the screen there, circle Kenyon. When Kenyon's pulling on a power play and punishing somebody to the ground, that's how you do it. That's how you finish a play. That's how you put somebody in the dirt. That's the type of physicality we want on this offensive line. So when guys see that and they see it consistently and they're like, okay, he's a first-round pick. He's going to make the team. That's what they're looking for. If I want to play guard, center, whatever, I need to do the same thing. That elevates everybody in the room. So for me, he is one of the most impactful guys, I think, that this class can be as far as rookies. And I'm just excited to see him because I think he's going to be a pivotal part of making this offense work for future years.
Quick Astros update. Phil Maton in the top of the eighth inning just gave up a solo home run to MJ Melendez. If that name sounds familiar, he's also the one that homered off of Jake Odorizzi earlier in the game. So if you're keeping count, that is two home runs for MJ Melendez against an Astros staff, not the same guys exactly, but overall staff that just came off of dominating the Yankees. I feel like the Yankees never had an at-bat in which they led. The only time that they led in that series was when they walked it off with Aaron Judge, ninth inning of the one game, the 10th inning of the other game, with the single in the one game, the home run in the other game. They were dominant. Of course, you had the double-digit strikeout games from both Christian Javier and Framber Valdez over the weekend. Astros set a franchise record of 20 strikeouts in a game. It's only happened 8 times in over 100 years, Cecil. That is a team has only done that in a 9-inning game 8 times since 1901.
Wow.
The Astros just did it.
Wow.
And they follow that up with giving up a couple of home runs to MJ Melendez and struggling. Then here, it looks like we got a throw. Who's throwing that?
That's your boy Pena.
That's Pena with a throwing error there.
Yeah,
to first base. So yeah, 6-3 lead in the top of the eighth inning for the Kansas City Royals over your Houston Astros. They've got one runner on first and one man out. But back to this conversation real quick about King and Green. Just wanted to give y'all that update on what's happening with the Astros. But I love where your head is at with this, because one of the things to me, I've said this already, I think that Davis Mills and Pep Hamilton as a pairing is the thing that I'm most interested to watch overall for the Texans. But when we talk about the offense and where it struggled, where it needs improvement, the big thing was running the football. They couldn't run the football worth a damn for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that had to do with the personnel that they had in the running back room, but also what they had going on with the offensive line. Lack of continuity, lack of talent, coaching, some mix of all of the a lack of doggishness, dogness. What was the word that we coined in this show earlier, Cecil?
Oh, what was it?
Is it dogness?
Dogness, dogness. Yeah, dogness. Yep, it was dogness.
Lack of dogness among the offensive line, or at least needing a little bit more of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I think about that, and to me, it is the important piece. But especially to me, though, considering what type of offense that Pep Hamilton wants to run.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they're trying to go out there and be cute anyway. I'm not saying that a zone blocking scheme or whatever it is, it's not that these guys aren't tough, but they want to hit you in the mouth. It is stylistically that type of offense, or at least from whatever past evidence and literature we have on Pep Hamilton, we can believe that that's the stylistic offense that he wants to run. And so this is drafting personnel that fits that personality, from Kenyon Green up front to John Metchie and how he plays the run after the catch as a slot receiver.
Physical.
And Damian Pierce as a running back, probably not your lead guy, not your number one guy, but a good change of pace and consistent with everybody else's attitude of, we're going to go and hit you in the mouth.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, to me, that's that is the cool thing about it, is that we use the term identity. I feel like your identity is changing from just simply not having one to actually having one.
Yeah.
And this is what it actually is to me.
That's a great point by you. They went after those specific guys on the offensive side of the ball. They drafted a tight end later, but those three, Green, Metchie, and Pierce, they all have that similarity. Now, it's interesting. They all play in the SEC.
Yep.
They all going to win against top talent.
Yep.
But going into Metchie, I talked about Green. Going into Metchie, his, like you said, run after the catch. He's looking to get yards. He's looking to score. He's looking to make plays. That's what you want from your slot receiver. That's what you want from your receivers outside, playmakers. Yep. Guys are going to get open, but after you catch it, okay, cool, what's next?
Right.
What's about to happen? He had 1,000 yards last year.
Right.
At Alabama. The year before that, 900 plus yards last year. So,
got that dog in him.
Got
what you talk about?
Dog his dogness, his dogness. There it is, the dogness. And then you got Damian, who I love, because when I say I love, as far as him not having so many carries on him, because normally when you get a guy that's a lot of carries, you're worried about wear and tear, because the running back life is a lot shorter in the NFL.
Yeah, I feel like the expectations drop for the Texans draft picks of this most recent draft, so they're rookies this year. It drops after Damian Pierce a little bit. And not necessarily for me, because I'm interested to see all of them, mm-hmm. even the one that was picked after him. Thomas Booker picked number 150 overall, okay? Mm-hmm. So we're getting down into the nitty-gritty. But after Damian Pierce, you got Thomas Booker, defensive lineman, Tegan Quatoriano, the tight end that you mentioned, and Austin Deculus, the offensive lineman who primarily plays tackle, has played more games for LSU than anybody that's ever played there because of the pandemic, and now you can play in college for 10 years if you want, right?
Extra 5 years.
Yeah. So he played like 6-7 years out there. I mean, the boy is our age. But anyway, I'm kidding. Shout out to Austin Deculus. Also a H-Town guy from the Cypress area, okay? Or a Cy-Fair Bobcat like Cal McNair, actually, I believe it is. But anyway, I feel like the expectations go down after these guys. But like, I can make a solid argument. Like, we were doing this, Cecil, after the draft of, I don't know if you heard this conversation piece, but like, the Texans might have just added five starters. You know, like we, like you know how we do the narrative thing. Yeah. You know, like that's just the nature of the beast. That's what we do. But between Derek Stingley Jr., Kenyon Green, Jalen Petrie, I think John Mechie and Damian Pierce, I think they were looking at, or even if you want to take John Mechie out of there because of the health thing, you want to just say Christian Harris and Damian Pierce. You didn't really say five or six starters people were talking about, okay? So I'm calming down from that a little bit. But I do have high hopes for these guys, and I see how you're able to make the arguments for everybody. Derek Stingley, obviously, number three overall pick.
Yeah.
Kenyon Green, you just did a phenomenal job of laying it out. And mind you, this was your second first-round pick, okay? Yeah. Remember what I said earlier about what all they passed up to get that guy, okay? They moved back, and that exact slot goes to Jordan Davis to the Philadelphia Eagles. The next pick before you pick Kyle Hamilton to the Baltimore Ravens. Both guys in which feel like really good fits for where they're going, okay? But Kenyon Green, safety Jalen Petrie, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, pretty nice consolation prize if you had your eyes set on Kyle Hamilton, right? Yeah. Like if you were a Kyle Hamilton guy and you ended up with Jalen Petrie in the second round, don't feel like you can be too upset about it. We mentioned John Mechie, having that dog in him, okay? Damian Pierce, you mentioned as well. But in between that is the linebacker, Christian Harris.
Mm.
Like, fascinating thing, Cecil, is how Nick Saban changed that guy from a defensive back to a linebacker. Okay, so he's got, like, cover skills and, you know, to me, he's got, like, he's a hybrid. He's got, like, a mix of defensive back, linebacker skills. I'm really intrigued in what he looks like in a Lovie Smith defense. Because remember, a year ago, when Lovie gets hired, everybody's talking about how the linebackers are going to shine, right? Well, fast forward to a year later, and the linebacker that they're drafting, okay, second linebacker that they're drafting since Lovie Smith's been here, Garrett Wallow last year, but now Christian Harris this year, we ain't seen Lovie smile like that and smile ear to ear. There was a video out that the Texans put out of Lovie and Nick Caserio hugging, Lovie just being super excited about this pick. I don't know what that means necessarily in a, you know, what's their imagination with Christian Harris, how exactly they're going to use him. That's one of the things that we'll want to watch. But I can make a case for all of these top, let's say, six rookies as guys to be excited about. But the fact that you, the NFL player who knows the game, would lean on Kenyon Green, the left guard, to me says a lot about what this team was lacking in terms of dogness, okay, and just straight up talent and viability up front. It's part of the reason why this offense just could never be better than the average, and for the last couple of years has been awful.
Well, man, I'm a firm believer the game is won in the trenches, and I know the game is changing, right? But it's still, you need to protect your quarterback. And sack the quarterback. That's the trenches. That's your offensive line blocking. That's your defensive line going to getting it.
Yeah.
And on one end, when you get a guy like Kenyon Green, who can, it's a puzzle piece, like how I want to put it, to which you already got your tackles booked in, right? So now it's a puzzle piece you're putting together, and you put him in as a piece. Now your offense is getting to a place where, okay, we're getting close to getting a finished product.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, because one of the best things you can do for a younger quarterback is to have a run game. That's how you protect them. To be able to have the run game and run the football, you're able to protect your quarterback. And not just pass protection, but you're able to run the football. That's able to protect him as well. So to be able to bring in a guy like Kenyon, man, and other guys, it's going to be a fun year just to observe and see who can live up to the potential.
Yeah,
who can be a possible starter before the year's out, who can be a contributor throughout the year. But it's a lot of things to look forward to if you're a Texans fan.
You described earlier in the show what a Pep Hamilton offense looks like. Okay, you did a good job of that. But I'm just curious, as like me, somebody who was at the press conference for the introductory press conference for Lovie Smith, and Pep Hamilton was obviously there, kind of a coinciding hire. Lovie Smith's promotion from defensive coordinator to head coach, Pep Hamilton's promotion from QB coach to offensive coordinator. And I saw a lot of guys that you know that were there. Andre Johnson was there. Trapp was there. Travis Johnson was there. Jonathan Joseph was there. Former players, guys who played for this team, respected guys in the community and from the league. And I'm just curious of what is the what's the view on Pep Hamilton? What do you kind of anticipate, like, as far as, you know, would you how good do you feel about Pep Hamilton as the offensive coordinator for the Texans going forward?
If I'm honest, I think I feel good because he knows the type of quarterback he has, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when you're an OC, you and when you know your personnel and you know how to use them well, that's when the offense will be at its best.
Yeah.
Right? So he knows Davis.
Everyone says that about him.
Like he knows Davis. He understands what he needs, how he can best succeed, what situations to put him in, what he can handle, what he can't. So when you have a guy that knows that, that's what's making me excited about Pep. So now he can put Davis in a situation to succeed, and then Davis goes out there and does it, and then we see the product, and once a quarterback succeeds, everybody else most likely around will as well. So that's the biggest thing for Pep. Pep knows the quarterback.
Yes. Yeah.
And he knows what to do. Now he's able to make plays and put people in position.
It's been 7 years since Pep Hamilton was an offensive coordinator in the NFL. You know, it's been 7 years. He was the offensive coordinator for the Colts from 2013 to 2015. Mm-hmm. Well-respected dude. Everybody that I trust in football has nothing but – I've never heard anybody say a bad thing about Pep Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it is one of the more fascinating things because it feels like this question mark because you haven't seen it in so long. But everybody that you trust really, really likes it. And that's why for me, Cecil, the Davis Mills, Pep Hamilton pairing, Pep being early on Davis Mills, right? Like that to me is the big thing. Like, okay, they've got a relationship. They speak, you know, a similar language of football, okay? And, you know, how is that going to translate? To me, it's the most fascinating thing, and I just can't really wait to see it actually materialize on the football field, because right now everything is in theory and it's fun to talk about, but we're just not there yet. We're 20 days away from rookies reporting to training camp. We're 22 days away from veterans reporting to training camp. And 40 days from them actually getting on the field and playing the Saints in a preseason game. In the meantime, though, you got your Astros, best team in baseball, playing down to the competition right now, trailing the Kansas City Royals 6-3 in the eighth inning. Y'all go check them out, man, and try to root on your Astros. See if we can get a rally going on late in this game. Look, Cecil, this has been a pleasure and a joy to do this show with you for the last 4 hours. Hopefully we gave the people enough of us to where the next time they hear us, they can tell us apart. And if not, it's all good, man. It's all good. We one big family. Look, check me and Sean Bajani out tomorrow morning. We're filling in for the morning show on Painter Pendergast. And until then, y'all be good.
This is for July. I'm ready to pop these firecrackers. Don't pop them on me. What the police say?
I know the police right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.